At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer from the below. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Jessica Soups with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you, as we're going to be joined in segment number two by our good friend, Brian Rolfe, over at HXCBB. We're going to get you guys set for the Final Four. He is in Houston. We're going to get some of the coaches' comments on what we've been seeing in the Final Four, a little bit of a report as to a guy that is currently going through a little bit of an illness that is going to be playing in the Final Four, perhaps a little bit of a concern for UConn. So we're going to be diving into that, get his picks for the Final Four, and just try to take a look at any sort of angles that you would get from actually being there at Houston for this Final Four. We're going to be doing that with Brian in segment number two. In the final segment, going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Final Four Saturday as we hit some bank shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter as per usual. Please send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, as I've mentioned on this podcast a few times, relatively at this point. Hey, he's in the barn with regards to handicapping. We've got one game left to handicap. Perhaps we get an injury or two of impact, but really, our work here is done. It's just all about trying to decipher the numbers to be able to get winners on these final three games. But I will say, we've got to recap what happened in UAB versus North Texas as well. Before here in the first segment, I will give you guys what we saw in terms of news and notes in college basketball on Friday, because we saw some major players entering into the transfer portal. It is going to be very impactful news for what we're going to be seeing in the 2023-24 season. Just 3 games remaining this year, so starting to turn it forward to next year. But North Texas, they took down UAB 68-61 in the NIT Championship. You knew either way a Conference USA team was going to be able to get it done. I will say, if you like me at UAB, that was a DK Nation pick and went down, but I feel a little bit salty about this one because there were a pair of shot clock violations that probably should have went against North Texas, and especially if you had the under, and I had that under, you should be feeling very salty about that because it's close right around 129. Some of you guys took a loss, some of you guys got a push. If you got in very late, you were able to get to the window, but yeah, that was a little bit rough as Tyler Perry, I know, hit at least one of those shots, and he did a terrific job in this game. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 20 points, he goes 3 of 9 from 3-point range, and North Texas did go 10 of 11 at the free throw line. UAB 24 of 31 at the charity stripe. UAB, they did lose the turnover battle by a count of 13 to 11, and North Texas won the battle on the glass by a count of 36 to 30, 14 offensive rebounds for North Texas, and hopefully Mule Sissoko stays at North Texas. We shall see what happens there as Grant McCaslin, now officially the coach at Texas Tech, but him filling in for Abdu Usman was terrific. 9 rebounds and a block for him. Down low, Kai Huntsbury at 21 points, and for Jordan Jelly Walker, he did have 21 points. He also had 5 turnovers in this game as well, so that's the way that the NIT final went, and as part of the news, McCaslin going over to Texas Tech to take over that job, but we did see Armon Franklin decide that he is going to be turning pro. He's not going to be returning for an extra year, and while he was at Virginia this last year, he shot 37.5% from 3, 12.5 points per game, certainly better than the 29.5% from 3 he had shot the previous year, so We shall see what his prospects are going to be. The biggest piece of news is the fact that Hunter Dickinson, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. We shall see what happens there. We remember a similar big man in Kofi Coburn a few years ago. He entered into the transfer portal and he just ended up coming back to Illinois, but it's going to be very, very fascinating because you know that there's a lot of NIL there. I know that he was a part of a Barstool podcast this season as well, so we shall see what happens there. As Dickinson, great year this year, 18.5 points, 9 boards, 1.8 blocks, shot 42.1% from 3-point range, so we shall see what gems lie ahead for him and what team he's going to be going to. Justin Moore, he is going to be giving college basketball fans more. He announced that he is going to be back at Villanova this year. Played just 13 games due to the injury that he sustained in last year's Final Four. 13.5 points, 3.5 boards, 3.2 assists per game. Shot from 3-point range about 34% from distance, but you just tell that this Villanova team was playing such better defense when he was out there on the court. So being able to get him back for another year, that is absolutely massive for this bunch. This is a big pickup as well. It's going to be a little bit under the radar, but Enoch Cheeks, he was really the top guy for Robert Morris. Stuff the statue, 15.5 points, 4.4 boards, 3.5 assists, shot 36% from 3-point range, a little bit over a block, 1.8 steals per game. He has decided that he is going to be transferring to Dayton. Dayton was really lacking a lot of offensive punch this season. Being able to get him in, that should be able to fortify them quite a bit. And Robert Morris, a similarly slow tempo team, much like Dayton. So that is going to be a good fit all the way around, in my opinion. Elijah Buchanan has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. He last season was playing at Manhattan, and when he was out there on the floor for Manhattan, he was actually able to do a relatively solid job. Problem was, he was quite banged up throughout the entirety of the season, so he was limited to only 5 games, and just the last 3 years combined for him, he has played a combined 54 contests, has been able to give the team right around 1.4 steals, just under a block, 5 rebounds, 9.5 points on about 30% 3-point shooting. So at 6'5", a relatively good stat sheet stuffer. We shall see what lies ahead for him as he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Virginia went through quite a few losses on Friday, by the way, because they also lost Isaac Trudot, who just did not see the floor this last year. Number 50 recruit, according to ESPN, for the class of 2022, a 6'10" big man. He just never got out there, so he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal and heading over to Creighton. Creighton, as we know, they were able to do amazing work with their starting five. They got absolutely nothing off their bench, so if they're able to get him to produce, that would be terrific for them and giving them a little bit of depth. That could be what is missing for Creighton to be able to make that Final Four or even beyond run. Jaden House, he was the top scorer at High Point this last year. He was looking to not be a low point in the transfer portal with 17.5 points, 4 boards, shot only about 28% from 3-point range, but really a solid creator. He has decided that he is going to be going to Rhode Island. Rhode Island is going to need to get some more 3-point shooting because that was an issue, and he doesn't necessarily solve that, but just more athletes in general is what's needed for Rhode Island. As Archie Miller, I do think he's got some people to prove because it has not been going well for him the last few seasons, so he has decided that he is going to be getting Jaden House in, and is going to be very big for all fronts there. Kudus Wahab, he is back in the transfer portal. He began his career at Georgetown, went to Maryland for a year, was back at Georgetown this last year, and registered 9 points, 7 boards, just under a block per contest as a true big man. It was a big reason why Georgetown made the NCAA tournament a few seasons ago, so we'll see where he ends up, but certainly has been out there in the northeast part of the country. Javion McCollum, he was an All-Metro Atlantic performer this past season. He led Siena in scoring, 16 points, shot from 3-point range, 35.5%, and then he shot 89% the free throw line. He is out there in the transfer portal, someone who does a solid job of doing out the ball as well with his 4 assists per game, so there's going to be a lot of suitors, I am sure, of for him. It's going to be interesting to see if he goes to a powerful mid-major or if he decides that he is going to be going up a level. Florida, they decide that they're going to be bringing in one of the smart kids, EJ Jarvis. He has decided that he is going to be heading to Florida. Was a big part of what Yale was able to do this last season. 11.5 points, 5.5 boards. It was a Yale team where the whole was greater than the sum of its parts. A very good defense-oriented team. And he shot a little bit over 40% from 3-point range with 1.5 blocks per game as well. So very good versatility. Florida, without having Colin Castleton towards the back half of the season. You saw how fragile they were without a solid big man, so we'll see what happens on that front. Kennesaw State with Amir Abdul-Rahim deciding that he is going to be going to South Florida and taking that vacancy. You wish him absolutely nothing but the best. He really built up Kennesaw State, but that has also meant that pretty much the entire Kennesaw State roster is now in the transfer portal. As we saw, Brandon Stroud officially announced he was averaging 9.5 points, led the team with 6.5 rebounds per game from three-point range shot right around 34.5% from three. Kasan Jennings, he was a nice role player for that team. He shot 38% from three with 6 points per contest. Top scorer Chris Youngblood, 14.5 points, 4.5 boards, 41% from three. They are all now in the transfer portal. I'll tell you this, when you see coaching hiring / firings, you pretty much assume that everyone is out there in the transfer portal, and you're shocked by who actually stays on, especially if they don't hire from within. So that is certainly something to watch out for. Along with Steel Venters, a man of steel for Eastern Washington this last year. Averaged 15.5 points, shot 37% from three, 84.5% the free throw line. One of the best scorers in the portal. He is now in there, so we shall see what lies ahead for him. Josef Metter, he has decided that he is going to be going from UT San Antonio. Meet me for the Roadrunners, and he is going to be heading over to Fordham. Fordham could use a little bit more in the backcourt. And Metter, who began his career at the community college level, he was able to put up some nice numbers for UTSA. 13.5 points, 3.8 assists, 3.5 boards, willing to get his nose dirty, get those rebounds. So that is a very good fit for Fordham, in my opinion. Utah Valley, we know that they were able to make a run to the Final Four of the NIT, and they are also going through a little bit of a coaching change with Mark Madsen deciding that he is going to be taking the coaching job at Cal. And we saw over the last 24 hours, a lot of these guys are eligible to come back, go into the transfer portal. I think that Trey Woodbury is just flat out eligibility, but Trey Dothard, he was able to register 14 points per game, shot in the mid-30s from three-point range. He is now out there in the transfer portal, also shot 89% at the free throw line. Jaden McClanahan, he was a little bit more of a role guy that came in off the bench, only about 2.5 or so points per contest. And then Tim Caesar, he was able to supply the team with 4 points, was able to get some things got down low, done for the team, 3.5 rebounds, a block per contest. All three decided that they were going to be entering into the transfer portal. We also saw Hunter Salas decide that he was going to be entering into the portal as well. He was playing at Gonzaga last season and didn't see the minutes that you would expect him to. He was a former top 25 recruit, averaged 4.5 points this last season, had some moments of brilliance, but could never really find his outside shot. So very curious to see where he's going. Few small, more frugal moves that could be very beneficial for these mid-major teams. Caleb Scott, he last year was playing at Georgia State, only registered about 3.5 points per contest. Maybe he was being underutilized the way that Georgia State's season went. He has decided that he is going to be attending Presbyterian. The Blue O's just have not been able to get anything going in recent years. So any sort of transfer pickup, and it's good for them. And Rob Martin, he was playing at Indiana State this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading to the Ohio Valley Conference, going to Southeast Missouri State. Really could not get in off the bench, but came in with a little bit of fanfare as what he's able to do in the backcourt. In terms of other guys entering into the draft / not entering into the draft, Tyrese Hunter, he is going to be maintaining his eligibility, and he is going to be looking to try to go pro. He was really able to do his best work at Iowa State during the 2021-22 season and leading them to the NCAA tournament in a bit of a diminished role at Texas. Still was solid with 10.5 points, 3 boards, shot about 33.5% from 3, up from the 27.5% from distance he had as freshman. But as a freshman at Iowa State, 5 assists, 2 steals per contest, proved that he could run the show. So he was in a little bit of a more background singer role this season. Grady Dick, he spent 1 year at Kansas, and he has done 14 points, 5 boards, shot it well from 3 at 40%, 85% on the free throw line. You sort of figured that he was going to be a one-and-done type, and that does appear to be the case. Javon Quinterly is going to be maintaining his eligibility, but he has decided that he is going to be putting his name in for the NBA draft as well. Would not be surprised if Quinterly comes back to school. He's already played pretty much 4 years, had a redshirt year with Alabama as well, but this last year was not necessarily so savory for him. After he averaged at least 12.9 points per game the previous 2 years, 8.7 points, 3.5 assists, was a part of a nice Alabama core, shot right around 35.5% from three-point range, but certainly far from an overwhelming showing this season. Kobe Jones, he decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft, and he is not going to be using his extra year of eligibility. He is just as good as done, as he was able to be Mr. Do-It-All over at Xavier this last year. He was able to supply the team with 4.5 assists, 5.7 rebounds, 15 points per contest. In his 3 years at Xavier, he was really able to ascend with every passing year, shot 38% from three-point range for a Xavier team that we're going to call what it is. They really didn't have any sort of depth whatsoever. This is going to be a pretty big blow for them. Yuri Collins, I'm not sure if he's going to be maintaining his eligibility or not, but he decided that he was going to be entering into the NBA draft. 11.2 points, 10 assists per contest that led all of college basketball. And St. Louis Billikens around him played absolutely no defense, but he was able to do a relatively solid job, so we are going to be seeing what happens there. Jacob Toppin, he was able to give Kentucky right around 11 to 12 points per game, 6 boards, good versatility overall for him. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the NBA draft, but he is going to be maintaining his eligibility along the way. And then we saw Devin Carter along with Bryce Hopkins returning to Providence. He figured that at least one of these guys were going to be coming back, but neither guy is really going to be testing out the NBA draft waters. Hopkins was the top scorer for Providence this last year, 15.8 points, 8.5 boards, 2.3 assists, shot 36.5% from three. Devin Carter, he was able to log 13 points, 5 boards, a block, 1.8 steals per game. Shot only about 30% from three, but a nice stat sheet suffer with getting two of their top three scorers back along with a very good coach in Kim English. That is a very good place to start for this team. You also did see Jalen Shafino decide that he is going to be declaring for the NBA draft. I am pretty sure that he is going to be not maintaining his eligibility, and he is going to be as good as gone in his 1 year at Indiana. He did a solid job. He played much more of a point guard role than we were expecting due to the injury to Xavier Johnson, and he gave the team 13.5 points, 4 boards, 3.7 assists, shot right around 33% from three-point range. The turnovers at 2.8 were a little bit higher than what you'd like, but again, as a true freshman, he was able to lessen those as the season went along, so he was really able to improve himself. So lots of things happening in college basketball on Friday. That's a little bit of a recap of that, but the biggest thing that's happening in college basketball right now, the Final Four that gets going on Saturday. Brian Rolfe of HXCBB, he is in Houston covering it all. We're going to be talking with him about just what the coaches have been saying about this experience, how they view this Final Four, if anyone thinks that they're lucky to be here, which, spoiler alert, none of the four coaches said that they were lucky to be here, and they're just looking to have a good old aw shucks time. So there's your spoiler there, but sort of what the coaches have been saying about this and who he thinks are going to be able to win the games on Saturday. That's up next right here on Kiss Hoops with myself, Craig Peterson, now a part of the DC Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Cousins with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And it's great to be joined by this man as Brian Roth does absolutely amazing work covering the great game of college basketball over at HeatCheckCBB. He is out there in Houston, Texas, being able to cover all the action. He and the gentleman over at HeatCheckCBB have done impeccable work all season long, taking a look at the game of college basketball, and they've joined me all throughout, so it is always much appreciated. And to be able to follow Brian on Twitter, that is at BRolf33 altogether. And you're also able to catch him on the HeatCheckCBB Hangout. That is the show/podcast. HeatCheckCBB does as well. And Brian, always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Brian. And I know you've been out there in Houston this week. I think that you rolled in midweek to be able to cover these teams. And what have you gotten just from being boots on the ground in Houston in terms of the mindset of these four teams? Because I'm sure that you're not going to hear any coach being like, oh, we're just thankful to be here. We're going to let it all rip. If we lose by 30, we lose by 30. All four of these teams, they are looking to win this. But I'm sure that in your conversations, it does feel like just all-around college basketball that it would be quite an upset if UConn does not pull it off in the Final Four and win both of these games.
The common refrain I got from all of them really were that none of them are necessarily surprised to be here, and none of them feel like they've reached their potential. UConn, obviously, with their ceiling, what they've done, are the favorites. But FAU talked about this wasn't a surprise to them really that they're here. Didn't necessarily expect the Final Four, but not surprised they've been able to beat who they've beat. San Diego State has said that they don't even feel like they've reached their full potential yet this season, and Miami obviously isn't scared of anybody the way they're playing. So that was the common refrain for me. There was no real underdog talk even for some of these teams that, you know, weren't highly seeded coming into the tournament. There's no underdog talk. There's no they're the obvious favorite talk. Everyone is pretty confident, and I think that's played a big role in the success of all four of these teams.
I agree with you, and one thing that I've noticed with all four of these teams is it feels like they all played a wide variety of different teams, like especially Conference USA. I think that the reason why we saw Conference USA win the CBI, win the NIT, have the conference as a whole be 18-2 here in the postseason across all three tournaments is that there's a wide variety of styles. North Texas is the slowest team in all of college basketball. Charlotte is a low and slow team. Meanwhile, Florida International, Rice, UAB, these are all up-tempo teams. How much do you think that that has played an advantage of Florida Atlantic? And like I said, all four of these teams just playing a wide variety of styles, because we notice teams in, say, the Big Ten, where you've got one common style among most of the teams, they were the ones that really disappointed this year.
It definitely helps. And Dusty May, Florida Atlantic's head coach, actually credited that for her part of the success of the success of Conference USA as a whole this postseason, is that, as he said, they've been able to point to certain things that teams do and reflect back to being like, oh, they do that like North Tech, being able to win multiple ways, because you're not going to be able to play the way you want to play 100% of the time when you get into these games. And I think the versatility we've seen from these is, again, a big reason why.
I do agree with you there. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Brian Rolfe. He does amazing work over at HeatCheckCBB, taking a look at the great game of college basketball. And Florida Atlantic, they are going to be in the early game. They're going to be playing against San Diego State to lead off the Final Four. And I find this to be just such a fascinating matchup, because when I take a look at both of these teams, I think the best core between both of these teams is the San Diego State defense. They have been relentless in the way that they're able to guard the three-point arc. They do a nice job on the glass. But I think Florida Atlantic is a more balanced team. With San Diego State, they have been lacking quite a bit of offensive pop in being able to get to this spot. How do you view this game? Because typically in situations like this, I do default to the team that is a little bit more balanced. And we were just talking about it with Conference USA being able to prepare for Atlantic for darn near everything. I think that that's going to prove to be very big in this circumstance.
It is. Now, San Diego State, you know, did just beat Creighton, Alabama. Really high-powered offenses to get here. FAU is that, and that was something that Brian Dutcher talked about, was the fact that FAU is an elite shooting team. And he said, you know, they're even going to make shots if we're pressed up against them. They're still going to make some shots. So we have to not get discouraged by that. It's going to come down to how much offense San Diego State can generate, honestly, because we've seen them go through those ruts where they go 5-10 minutes without scoring a basket or scoring many points. You can't really do that against this FAU team. They've been bailed out in the tournament by guys like Darion Trammell stepping up, getting some points, Jaden Ledee in there as well. We haven't seen a big Matt Bradley game. I think that might be coming, and that might be key for them winning this game.
I do think that Matt Bradley is a big-time X factor because he was not very good in the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. And to your point, Darion Trammell, he was the guy that was able to step up on both of these teams. I do think have impeccable depth, which has led them to this spot. And then I was mentioning it with UConn. No doubt about it. Most people have them as a favorite, and it's reflected in the line right now. UConn being a 5.5-point favorite against Miami. How do you think UConn is going to be able to prepare for this game? Because I do think that UConn has more talent. I do think that UConn has more depth. The one fear that I do have with UConn is that they just haven't seen a stable of guards quite like Miami's here in the tournament, though I will argue, just like I was talking about how Florida Atlantic is very prepared for the NCAA tournament with the wide variety of styles that they've seen. UConn has seen really good guard play all season long in the Big East with teams like Marquette, teams like Xavier. It's not quite Miami, but I do think that it'll give them a good building place to be able to prepare for this game.
And UConn beat Alabama back in November. They're certainly no stranger to facing good guards, but this Miami team poses a unique problem for a lot of teams because of how many good guards they have, because they have four guys who can score 20 a game from the perimeter on the court really at any given time. That's going to be key for UConn is one, matching that backcourt production or limiting it for Miami, coupled with you have to take advantage of your advantage inside. Like Miami's big, big weakness is they lack size. They're not bad on the glass. They make up for it with some group rebounding, but the record in games where they get out-rebounded, that's when they lose the games that they've lost. So if you're UConn, you have to play to your strengths and not let the unique style of Miami plays really take you out of your...
I think that that is very important, and for UConn, no doubt about it, being able to get no Chad Omier in foul trouble would be absolutely massive for them because he is the biggest threat down low for Miami. After that, there is a considerable fall off. And what I think would be so interesting is if Miami would win, they would have the possibility in the national title game to just pretty much throw off all trends that we've seen with NCAA tournament winners. Because I'm sure that you're very aware that ever since the KenPom era really began, ever since KenPom began tracking college basketball, it's been pretty much a top 35 defense that has won every one of these tournaments. You've got three out of the four teams remaining that fit that criteria. Meanwhile, Miami, they're a little bit of an outlier. What do you attribute this Miami run to? Because we haven't really seen a lot of teams that play, let's call it what it is, defense a little bit more lax the way that Miami has to be able to make a run like this. And it has been very impressive to watch this Miami offense just tear through so many great teams in order to get to this point.
Guard play. At the same time, we talk about them potentially bucking all these trends. The trend they fit in with traditionally is that elite guard play wins in March. And they have, I would say, the best backcourt left and certainly one of the best backcourts in the country overall, right? They certainly would buck the trend defensively, but this is an outlier year. There are no top three seeds in the Final Four. There are no one seeds in the Elite Eight for the first time ever. You know, there are no McDonald's All-Americans or five-star recruits playing in the Final Four. This is an outlier year. So in an outlier year, you have to rely on the strengths and the things you do really, really well anyways. That's where Miami's backcourt and that unique play style of having four really capable perimeter players on the court at one time does play to their advantage.
I do think that it's so interesting to take a look at all four of these teams in the NCAA tournament as Brian Rolfe of HXCBB is joining me on the podcast, because with all four of these teams, they are a little bit different. We mentioned it with Miami. They've got the best guard play, but they've got the worst defense. Florida Atlantic, they're a whole is greater than some of its parts team. San Diego State, they hang their hat on defense, sometimes can be a little bit dry on offense. And for UConn, this was a bunch that has really been one of the top teams in all of college basketball all season, since that rut that they hit in mid to late January. But one thing that I noticed with all these teams is that they've utilized the transfer portal, but many of these guys that they got via the transfer portal have been with the program for multiple years. Like, we talk about the Miami backcourt. They picked up Jordan Miller a few years ago from George Mason. Isaiah Wong has been with the program for quite a while. Florian Lannick really didn't pick anything up this offseason via the transfer portal, but Flag Golden, he came in two seasons ago from Texas Tech. Have you been noticing this more and more? The teams that have been able to make a run, they use the transfer portal, but they don't use the portal to have a guy for 1 year, but rather have them be with the program for multiple years and continue to build.
That, I think, is the threading the needle, so to speak, that a lot of these coaches are trying to navigate with the portal still being pretty new, is getting guys to the portal that fit your program but also still have room for you to develop them. Because there's this mix between talent acquisition and talent development that you still have to do. You're not going to be able to reload in the portal every single season. Now, Miami, you mentioned guys like Jordan Miller, and they brought Nigel Pack in or Chad O'Meara in this offseason. So those guys are a bit more instant impact, but they have other guys who have contributed that have been in the program for years that they've relied on. As you mentioned, Pack and O'Meara have sort of fit in what they wanted to do. I think people look at the portal as a instant fix and as a year-to-year solution. And the ones that are utilizing it effectively are using it to patch holes, certainly, the same way that Miami did it with Pack and O'Meara. But the guys that are using it most effectively are the ones who are still using it for team building and program building, because you might lose a guy if you can replace him. He's got 3 years left. The net benefit is essentially the same.
I think that that is so big, and it's something to take a look at in this day and age in college basketball. And Brian, I want to get your picks right now for this. Who do you think we're going to be seeing in the national title game? And do you think that there's any team that's able to pull off the upset and knock off UConn?
I think Miami does. Now, Jordan Hawkins's health plays certainly a role in that. He was not at open practice today, didn't participate. He's been under the weather with a non-COVID illness. I'd be shocked if he did not play tomorrow night, but certainly that might play a role. Miami's guards, I think Miami has a backcourt advantage, and I think they have what it takes to pull an upset there. And I'll take them to the national title over San Diego State in the championship game. I think this is something of Jim Larrañaga's career achievement. Like, this feels like the coronation of Jim Larrañaga. I think the way that team is playing right now, the belief they have. They also just beat two teams that might be better than UConn in Houston and Texas. And I don't think we can overlook that either. This Miami team's been playing at a really, really high level and pose a lot of problems for a lot of teams. I think any of these four could win it, and it not be a huge surprise, even if FAU does win the title. It'd be a surprise that FAU won, but not necessarily that this team won. But if I had to pick, I'm going Miami over San Diego.
And this is going to be an absolutely incredible Final Four. And Brian, I have to give you credit where credit is due. Before the season even began, you did have San Diego State in your Final Four. I'm not sure if you stayed true to it when you filled out your bracket, but
I did.
The fact that
I
you
did.
Threw that out,
I did.
I love it.
For the one I got right.
Yep, I got UConn right on my bracket as well. And if you got one Final Four team right this year, you got one more than both. So you should actually feel relatively good about that, because if you're talking about, oh, my bracket got destroyed, well, congratulations, join everyone else, because this was a very strange year. But Brian, you're one of the best in the business at taking a look at the game of college basketball. And hey, I just mentioned it. I don't know if I could give you a much more of a bigger vote of confidence than the fact that you had San Diego State before the season even started in the Final Four. I find that very impressive that you were able to come up with that insight, and a big credit for you for doing that. And I know you and everyone else over there at HXCBB have been grinding hard all season long, but the grind does not stop with the Final Fours. I know that you guys are going to be locked and loaded all postseason long, taking a look at these coaching moves, taking a look at the transfer portal, and most importantly, getting set for what is going to be a massive 2023-24 season as well. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, we're going to have coverage all weekend up on HeatCheckCBB.com and at HeatCheckCBB on Twitter. Today we posted our way too early top 25 for next season. So we're prepping for that as well, along with coverage we have this weekend. So a lot of good stuff this weekend and moving forward coming out on HeatCheckCBB.com.
Brian does an absolutely incredible job taking a look at this great game of college basketball, and always lends great insights when he joins this podcast. A big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops Now, part of the Visa Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time. The Final Four is today. I give you guys my picks and analysis on both of these big games as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here in Las Vegas, with myself, Greg Peters, and now part of the Visa Family Podcast. Always great to get Brian Rolfe of Heat Check CBB aboard. The gentlemen over there at Heat Check CBB do an amazing job. They've joined me all throughout the season, taking a look at the great game of college basketball, and every single time any one of them joins me, whether it's Eli Becker, Riley Davis, Brian, who joined me today, you're able to go down the list. They always deliver the goods, so appreciate Brian joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you picks and analysis on these final four games from NRG Stadium as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GNRS41. We've had the spreadsheet up for a week. I've previewed this a lot on this podcast. I have previewed this quite a bit on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN. It is now finally here, so there are really no changes, but I'm going to explain to you why I like what I like. 7-1, 7-2 is the first game in the final four. Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. San Diego State up to a 2.5-point favorite across the board. Mostly seeing 131.5 with the total. Seeing a few straight 132s, and I'm going to try to snag a 132 myself because I do like this little under. Set it at a 129.5 personally, so even if you got a 131, I do like it under, but obviously you always want to be trying to get the best of the number in this ordeal, and my DK Nation write-up, it is going to be Florida Atlantic on the money line. I think that they get the job done outright. San Diego State, most dominant core of any side of things in this game because their defense
It is stifling. It's given up 64 points or fewer in every single game here in the month of March, each other last night overall. But for San Diego State, offense just has not been there, and they've been relying a lot on second chances on rebounds. They are 62nd in the country in terms of offensive rebound rate. They have to go up against a Florida Atlantic team that is 10th in the country in terms of total rebound rate on the road. And for Florida Atlantic, they're in the top 20 nationally in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per-possession basis. We also got good insights from Evan Miakala on the show a few days ago talking about how Florida Atlantic is outscoring opponents by around 21.5 to 22 points per 100 possessions whenever Vladislav Golden, who averages 10.5 points, 6 rebounds per game, is out there on the floor. And I do think that that's very big because Florida Atlantic, behind him, they've got a very good stable of guards. You've got guys that are a little bit lesser in the fold like Michael Forrest, Brian Greenlee. They're relatively solid three-point shooters that contribute about 8.5 points per game, dole out a few assists. It's really John L. Davis and Elijah Martin who are your main scorers with a combined 27 points. They'll shoot between about 36.5, 37% from three-point range. But we talk about the San Diego State defense. They are in the top three nationally in opponents' three-point shooting percentage. But I mean, Florida Atlantic is a top 15 team in opponents' three-point shooting percentage as well. Now, San Diego State, I do think that there's going to be regression to what we saw the last few games in the NCAA tournament. They allowed Alabama and Creighton to go a combined 5 of 44 from three, and they're a tremendous three-point shooting defense. At the same time, they did allow a few open threes, and neither team could knock them down. For San Diego State, their top scorer is Matt Bradley, 12.5 points per game, and honestly hasn't necessarily played great here in the NCAA tournament. It was really Darian Trammell who led the team to this point in the games against Creighton and Alabama. He had a combined 33 points, 10 rebounds in those contests. I like what he's able to bring to the table. They bring in someone like Micah Parrish, shoots 36% for three, has some size, 8 points per contest. And then you do have a trio of guys in Keshawn Johnson, Nathan Menza, Jaden Ladie. I'll give between 5 and 6 rebounds per game, but San Diego State does leave a lot to be desired on offense. We have seen those wolves all throughout the season, and with Florida Atlantic having played against such great Conference USA competition, having to play slow against teams like Charlotte and North Texas, both are in the bottom 10 in terms of total possessions per game. Rice, Florida International, UAB, top 55 teams in terms of total possessions per game. This team is able to take on all challenges. Florida Atlantic has a collective shooting over 37% from three. I think the balance of Florida Atlantic gets it done, and I think that they're going to be able to beat San Diego State while playing at San Diego State's slow, grimy style. Semi-total at 129.5, diving under on bypassing the points. DK Nation write-up. Florida Atlantic money line, seeing that in a lot of places, right around about a plus 120 to a plus 125, and then 703, 704. Miami is going to be taking on UConn. UConn is a favorite of 5.5 points with your total 149. I did set my total 150. I'm going to be willing to go over in this ordeal because you do have a UConn bunch that, just like Florida Atlantic, they are so balanced. And I do think that Florida Atlantic, along with UConn, the two teams I'm going to be picking to make the final, they are the most balanced teams remaining in the NCAA tournament. But UConn's balance is even better because we always talk about the defense. But how about this UConn offense? They are number 9 in the country in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. And when they're away from home, number 7 in the country in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. You just got two of everything, much like Noah's Ark with this team, because you've got Adama Sinogo, makes things a go-go. And by the way, he's going through Ramadan, and because of the later tip time, he should be able to get some nutrients in his system before the game. So that helps you out a little bit there as well, as he's been able to give you 17 points and 7.5 boards per game. I know that our good friend Brian Rolfe was reporting that Jordan Hawkins dealing with a little bit of an illness. I think he should be fine from all reports that I have heard recently on this since that chat. He's shooting about 38.5% from three. He's been able to supply the team with 16.5 points per game and big to the spread. And a big reason why I'm willing to lay the 5.5 with UConn, not willing to lay anything more, but each of your top four scorers, Sinogo, Hawkins, Tristan Newton, Alex Caravan, they all shoot at least 77.6% at the free throw line. That is very big in this circumstance because Miami, they are a very good free throw shooting team. They are the top offensive team in terms of points scored on a per possession basis that is remaining in the field, as each of their top five scorers all shoot at least 73.3%. The charity stripe, 77.6% as a collective. Jordan Miller, Isaiah Wong, they've been able to combine for about 31.6 points per game. And even when they were off their game, both of these guys had single digits in that game against Drake. They were still able to get the job done in that one because no Chad O'Meara has been tremendous here in the NCAA tournament. He has been able to pull in there a grand total of 53 rebounds across four games, but now you have to go up against both Klingon and Sinogo, with Donovan Klingon being able to do a nice job. 7 points, 5.5 boards, 1.8 blocks per contest. Joey Calcaterra shoots 44% from three-point range. You've got so much depth. Nigel Pack, he was banged up towards the middle part of the season. He's been able to emerge for the team as he and Wuga Poplar, ever since the beginning of the month of February, are both shooting over 40% from three. And Poplar, I think, could be the X factor in this game. 10-plus points so far the team's last five games. I like the way that he's been able to develop, and he's actually shot better from three-point range when away from home than at home. And the one thing that I will say for this Miami defense, they do allow about 3 points fewer per 100 possessions when away from home than when they are at home, but I just still can't get past the fact that you've got a UConn defense that has been so rock solid on defense all season long. They are 12th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Miami is clocking in at 198th. I think that this is going to catch up with them. I do think that you're going to see plenty of scoring in this game. Miami has been a rocket ship with their offense, 85-plus points at each other last three games. UConn may have gotten to at least 82 in three of their last four. So I did set my total at a 150, despite the fact that Energy Stadium, as we know, it is a football stadium. So I'm going to be willing to go over in this spot. And with UConn, made them a 6-point favorite. So I'm willing to lay the 5.5. And now we'll wrap things up for the Final Four / Saturday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. A big thanks to Brian Roth of HXCBB for joining me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the basketball season, and the basketball season never ends, because once the national championship game ends, we turn it forward to the 2023-24 season, looking at the transfer portal, these coaching moves, what have you. So all 365 days this year, and on leap year 366 days, I'll be with you guys. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow once we have a national title game set. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.